Forget camels. Imagine cruising through the Sahara in a 90-foot-long monster bus with wheels taller than a grown man, complete with lounges for fine dining, portholes like an ocean liner, and enough horsepower to crush dunes into highways. In 1932, someone actually tried to build this, the world's most ridiculous land yacht. What happened, and why did it vanish into the sand? For 100 years, trains ruled the land, crossing nations in speed, comfort, and luxury. But trains need railway tracks. And with the rise of the motor car, engineers had a new idea. What if you could bring the railway to the wild? And just as the car had replaced the horse, now it was the camel's turn. And they called this idea the new Ship of the Desert. This was ambitiously designed to be 86 feet long, operate at 26 feet high above the desert sands, and be propelled by twin Maybach engines, each with 900 horsepower, able to carry more than 20 tons of freight. And let's talk about those giant wheels. The idea was that the entire body of the desert ship would be suspended in a cradle of hydraulic springs, with the giant wheels, 15 feet in diameter, carrying it over the dunes. And because of the sheer weight of the craft, the wheels would essentially be acting like giant steamrollers and creating a road behind them. This packed and crushed sand would facilitate travel for the locals or any other vehicles following behind. Imagine some sort of convoy. But let's just pause for a second and talk about the physics. Because whilst the idea was insane and with merit, the desert is not forgiving. This machine could handle the terrain. The problem is, the terrain couldn't handle it. Sand doesn't compress and become asphalt, it shifts. Wide wheels help, but they're still heavy and concentrated. A Maybach-powered tank is not light on its feet, and hydraulic suspension sounds futuristic, but imagine trying to service that in a sandstorm in 1932. But the engineers believed that it would be able to move it around 30 miles per hour over the sand dunes with a range of about 6,000 miles with adequate fuel on board, which is very impressive indeed considering normal cars can't do 6,000 miles. This is so impressive that I have to remind you that the Sahara is only 18,000 miles top to bottom, so real range may vary of this actual craft. For shorter trips, and I'll get into the details of how crazy they were later, the speed and range was about half. To control such a large beast, there would be a third, smaller 7.5-litre diesel engine that would power all of the electronics on board, including the hydraulic motor for steering. And there would also be a large, powerful radio to communicate across the desert and to receive weather reports, just like a real ship. Although the vessel would rely on skilled navigators to read the stars to make sure that they didn't get lost in the ever-changing sand dunes. But of course, I bet you're wondering, what exactly would it be like to travel on board? Hello, Nick from Found and Explained here. We've seen what happens when you try to put a ship in the middle of the desert. Let's just say, logistics can get complicated. Sand gets everywhere, camels get into your canned lard, and the heat, boy, it makes an oven seem like an icebox. Running a business without the right tools can feel the same. You're juggling websites, sales, invoices, emails, all in different places, hoping it somehow floats. That's where Odoo comes in. It's an all-in-one business management platform with their wide range of 45 applications. It covers all of your needs, such as website builder, CRM, invoicing, inventory, dashboards. And since everything is in one platform, things are integrated and automated. No more hopping between clunky, mismatched tools. Everything works together seamlessly. With Odoo, you can capture leads instantly from your website using the contact form, which automatically brings every opportunity to a simple CRM pipeline with their contact details, priority level, expected revenue, and much more. Within each opportunity, you have the chatter, with which your team can send emails, log notes, and sales quotes in clicks, with customer information built in, and even get paid all without leaving Odoo. And the best part? You can start for just $24.90 a month. And if you're looking for one specific app, you can use Odoo's first app for free for life. Manage your whole operation from one dashboard so you can focus on building your empire, not digging your ship out of the sand. Check out Odoo today with a link down in the description and help the channel. Because this desert ship was so darn tall, there was actually plenty of vertical space for passengers with three main decks. The lowest deck would have twin engine rooms, one at the front and one at the back, that would roar like steel camels with those Maybach engines, whilst 11 poor souls, or crew, lived in a swaying metal box slung between them with portholes to nowhere. On the sides, there would be concave storage recesses that would contain extra cargo or the multiple Caterpillar motor buses that would be used for short-range trips and excursions. Unfortunately, I don't have much in the way of the details of these smaller craft. All I know is that they had a Caterpillar and had sort of a half-track design that we'd see later in the 1940s. Also on this deck, there would be ladders and lifts to access the ground. Although I imagine at specific terminals, there would be a scaffolding for the passengers to access the actual passenger decks rather than climbing up and down. The second level would have a lower class passenger quarters, because nothing screams luxury travel like swaying hammocks above a rumbling 900 horsepower engine, as well as the cigar lounge and the rear dining saloon, which would be a total vibe as you cruise through the hot desert. There would also be a twin set of recesses here for cargo as well, primarily the food and water. And yes, I do need to talk about the water, because this thing also had flushable plumbing. There would be a toilet in the desert in 1932. That's how serious they took the luxury with this idea. And then on the top deck, the only one of which was actually free of the wheel clearance, it had the private first class passenger cabins and a promenade to stroll around for the views. Essentially, this was a deck to walk around and contemplate your life choices as you cross the Sahara in a giant wheeled hotel. I don't know why so many machines back then had promenades. We saw them in the flying boats, but I do wish that they would come back. These first-class cabins were also apparently going to be the pinnacle of opulence, rivaling that of the famous passenger trains like the Orient Express, and I quote, "the finest Pullman cars." And it would be somehow artificially cooled to combat the sun's rays. Aircon in 1932, it seems. But I'll explain the science behind that in a moment. In the middle of this entire craft, there was a stairwell, so passengers could climb the decks like a cruise liner, coming up from the engine level all the way to the cigar lounge to the starlit promenade. Then to really make it a ship of the desert, on the very top there was a poop deck that had the control room and the captain's quarters. Here, the 11 most confused sailors in human history could operate and transport up to 56 passengers across the desert, although for shorter distances it was possible for the land ship to carry over 100 to 300 third-class passengers in less refined luxury. And because this would be a short, hot 15 miles per hour trip over the desert, I imagine many of those third-class passengers would have rather taken the camel instead. So why did we never get this epic monster of a landship? So the first question you have to ask yourself, who was mad enough to dream up all of this? Who wakes up one day and says, what if the Orient Express could moonlight as a steamroller? Well, behind every mad idea is a mad inventor, and this story was no different. Meet prolific innovator Christian Bischoff Johannes from Germany, who not only wanted to replace the camel, but change a lot of different things in the 1930s world. And I now realize saying German who wanted to change the world in the 1930s may make you think of a certain other group of German people in perhaps a political group, but believe it or not, the Nazis were not involved in this case. Our humble innovator would actually go on to create many inventions throughout his career, such as a generic advertising speech device, which was essentially an interactive dictation machine that would highlight prices and sales, much like the TVs that we have today. But one of his other inventions was really radical. It was a hat that could cool you down. Actually, it was the idea to cool the body by means of a light, volatile chemical instead of, say, a cool breeze. The idea was that you would put your wrist or head into this device and a special chemical, which are cool to the touch due to an endothermic reaction, would cool your blood and soon your whole body, but prevented from causing harm by the barrier of the device. Neat. He would then take this idea and apply it to the cabin of a ship, and then he would realize, what if we put it on land? So this would become his magnum opus, the ship of the desert. He was so confident with this concept that he went out of his way to patent it in as many territories and languages as possible. Patents for all countries with colonial possessions. And he planned eventual evolutions of this concept, such as an amphibious version that could travel on both land and water, and weirdly, also patented the idea for it to travel underwater. Really, this guy saw this project going to the moon. And you could subscribe for my eventual video on what happened to underwater land ships. To seek investors, he actually built a scale model and shopped it around the world for 5 years to see if anyone was keen to build it. It even made the cover of Modern Mechanics and Inventions. It had pure Pulp Fiction energy, with neon green paint, giant headlights, and a captain's tower straight off the Titanic with searchlights. It was less engineering manual and more sci-fi comic for the men who drink gasoline. And in the midst of the Great Depression and rising fascism, this was a dream of progress and peace, almost laughably optimistic. And maybe this wasn't just a vehicle. Maybe it was a symbol, one of colonial ambition, of impossible hope, or one man's glorious rolling fever dream. But with war on the horizon, no one had time for silly ideas like peace, friendship, or giant luxury land ships. And just like that, the idea ended as the world descended to war. Although I do wonder if he had given any thought to sticking some guns on it. The battle for Egypt and North Africa for the Germans would have gone very differently indeed if he had weaponized it. So maybe subscribe to see that story of the world of giant impossible to build land battleships.